Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, Merlin.
Are you well?
Merlin, man.
What was my song for you? Oh, yeah. Do you want to ride on my John Roderick? I got to update that. If you like it, then you should put John. I got nothing.
We should have somebody record versions of those songs. And in fact, I think, given what I've discovered from having a podcast with you, All I need to do is suggest that. And by the time tomorrow rolls around, there will be two studio recordings of those songs. Mm. Merlin, man.
So you think it's the power of podcasts and social media writ large.
Social media. That's exactly right. Social media. Yeah, I have become very enamored with social media because I understand now something about it that I didn't used to. Do you remember when I called you on the phone? This is back when I used the phone. And I said, Merlin, can you tell me why the Long Winters would need a website? And you laughed and laughed. You laughed like you're laughing now.
That's like Ben Franklin, like trying to tell Ben Franklin why he might want an iPhone 4S instead of an iPhone 4. There's a lot of technological dependencies that we would have to unpack. And I'm imagining you like reading off a card. You've got like reading glasses on the end of your nose.
Why would I need a website?
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
But you unpacked it for me over the course of many, many, many long hours of scheduling meetings to talk about it. But then we would have to reschedule. But eventually you did explain why we needed a website. And now fast forward several years, and here I am, a maven of social media. And did I use maven right?
I'm not sure. I don't have my dictionary.
That tipping point book, and I use those terms, but I don't understand.
Oh, that kind of maven. Yes, yes.
I'm not sure if I use them properly.
Yes, you're a style maker. You're like that big black gay guy at Vogue. You're like Andre, the guy used to be on the show with Cindy Crawford.
Exactly. Like you are. Big black gay guy at Vogue.
You're the big black gay guy.
We're 2 minutes into this podcast, and you've already said big black gay guy.
Well, I usually can constrain myself. Now, a couple things about that. Second, you don't even need that site so much anymore, which makes me sad. I mean, it's a bummer because now all the stuff that's happening, you know, is happening on all these other, you know, social media sites. But first,
correct me if I'm wrong, but nobody needs a website anymore. Haven't we moved beyond websites? Are we in a post-website world?
That brings me to part one in some ways, which is I don't remember talking to you about that because I say so many things.
Yeah.
I remember I helped you make a website.
A lot of weed.
I used to. I just can't now. I can't. Like right now, I'm sick. I've got a virus, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, thank you. But I mean, I think what marijuana does not make me interesting, and it just shreds my immune system so quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Like nobody likes a paranoid guy who's coughing a lot.
Right? Well,
I mean, unless you're
party.
Yeah.
See how I got us onto the tea party already?
See how I'm taking this back? Now, here's the thing. The way that I learned this when I used to have like jobs. And if you want to do something, well, if you want to do something and you think it's a good idea, obviously one of the things you must do is basically offer to do it yourself. But if you got some bonehead that you got to convince of something, you got to make them think it's their idea. And
wait, who's the bonehead in
it's
this?
It's completely hypothetical, John.
I see. Okay.
And so that's why I said to you that no, I think the two parts is that you gotta show them, you gotta make it seem like their idea. Yeah. But you also, I think, with you, I think it's useful to show how something on the continuum potentially, theoretically, makes you more rather than less powerful. And I suspect that the pitch that made you want to do this was control. That you would control the message. You could decide what you wanted to look like. You wrote wonderful things for the site. I suspect that's what it was, and that's why I say I think it's kind of this is such a boring. Let's limit this to a few minutes because I got a lot to say about this. But like this is why like the Facebook thing like bothers me, or the Twitter thing, like it's so ephemeral and there's really not that much incentive to try hard, and then it kind of just goes away. So yeah, you get to control your messaging and like whatever, you know, be a big douche in front of people, but you don't really own it in the way you do with your own site. So
when you say, but you're still using the royal you, you're not talking about me.
Oh, no. I'm always talking about you, John. I would just assume that whenever you hear anything positive, I'm talking about you or I am implicitly thanking you.
Because I don't like to be the douche in that analogy. But you know, whenever I say anything about social media, you know that I'm being facetious.
Do I?
I hope you do.
Yeah.
You're sick and it's making you a little impenetrable.
No, I'm not that sick. I only could eat like half my hot dog. I'm having a Mexican Coke, and I'm having some water. I'm trying to recover. I had a peanut butter sandwich,
but I tried to do it before I got on the phone call with you.
Let's circle back to that. I want to talk about peanut butter. Peanut butter has become a very complicated topic, and I have a lot to ask you about that.
It's huge around here, but I don't want to get into that right now.
Because you will literally kill people now with the peanut butter. You know that? They will literally die.
Oh, from people that have peanut allergies.
That's just one of the things. That's like one bullet.
All right. Well, let's go back to the peanut butter.
Okay. Well, and so the website thing, though, is that the social media thing is that, you know, I like social media. I like the idea of this thing where you can talk to people, but like it should be in an environment that's conducive to talking to people.
Yeah.
Like talking to people on Twitter is weird. It's, you know, I mean, regardless of, I mean, if you have a relatively like modest number of followers and people you follow and you really are just there to talk to each other, well, I mean, like, I don't know why you wouldn't use AIM or IRC or something for that. But, you know, if you want to have a public conversation with somebody, okay, fine.
Right.
But you know.
Postal Service.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's like that the guy with the Zooey Deschanel husband. She did a nice job with the singing, by the way. Did you hear that?
Oh, on the sports?
She sang at the sports.
No, I didn't see it.
You know what? I'm not crazy about the way that she sings, but she did great. And, you know, she didn't. She wasn't goofy. Right. She didn't like Christina Aguilera. She didn't do the actor thing. Like, she didn't do any of that bullshit. Like, she sang the fucking song, and it was pretty. And I would just like to say to America, if you're going to sing the fucking song, make it pretty. Don't dick around with that. You know what? Go shuck and jive. Go cover Paid in Full. Go have some fun. That's a great song. But in this case, you know what? I think we should start doing Paid in Full before a sports event.
Wow.
Thinking
up
a master plan. Ain't nothing but...
The Christina Aguilarification of the national anthem.
It started with Mariah Carey. She's the one who ruined everything.
You're right, and it has spoiled the start of sporting events for me, which used to be a time of contemplation.
It's one of the few times you can enjoy a sporting event. It's when it hasn't started.
You make a little steeple with your hands, mm-hmm. and you think, "Aha, yes, sports." And then you put your hand over your heart, or you take your hat off, and then now. Somebody is like strangling a bag of cats.
Oh, and they think they're fucking Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, they're not.
Stop doing that. That's wrong.
I'm glad to hear that Zooey didn't mangle it, but you know, she's a classy lady. She knows.
I know. I'm just saying. I just do, you know.
Yeah.
I think she's cute as a bug's ear, but you know, sometimes. Anyway.
Here's the problem with social media for me. I feel it is ruining my brain. I can actually feel my brain being ruined, one of the complications is that I'm an old man now, so my brain is being ruined by every additional day that it's on the earth. Right, it's being bombarded mm-hmm. with photons, and I'm losing photons. My grip anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a Twitter thing. The losing it.
Well, it's certainly a Twitter thing, but it's also. You know, if you're communicating just in text-based applications, email, texting, tweets, Facebook updates, which I prefer to do, I actually prefer it to speaking to somebody. But the problem with that is that I'm in a half a dozen crazy feuds with people.
Are you still steaming?
Oh, I'm just feuding with everybody. Mm. I'm feuding with everybody.
I can't believe you let yourself be provoked into those things.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not even provoked into them. Most of the people I'm feuding with have no idea. I'm like Tom Sharpling. I'm feuding with half the world, and they don't even know that it's happening. Mm. I'm so mad. But it's some kind of reciprocal thing where I send out a text, and I have some expectation of what the kind of text I want to get in return is. And when I get a different kind of text, when somebody writes back and goes, fine, or they say, see you there, and what I was expecting was some kind of something different,
mm-hmm.
then it plants the seed. It plants the seed, and
that's where this—that's the source of the steam, the photons.
Well, it's the beginning of the photon steam. Mm-hmm. Is that
that's a problem of physics, right? Really,
photon steam.
I don't know. I mean, like, you can take classes about water and yeah. science. I think that's a part of it. You know, can I just say another word? Plasticity. There, you know, as you get old, I mean, you're young. You know everything,
right?
It's like if Irma Bombeck and like Andy Rooney just got all fucked up and then had a kid, like, that's me but sick, you know. I'm turning into Irma Bombeck. I fucking hate it, but here's
that's
the thing.
Not so bad.
She died, man. She's you know, she passed a while back.
She did. A lot of people die. That yeah. doesn't mean you're gonna die, Merlin.
I learned about that from Malcolm Gladwell.
From Malcolm Gladwell or from Uncle Gladwell? I didn't, through your nose, I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. No, Malcolm Gladwell, the Canadian hair fic here. He, yeah, I know, you know, used in Canada, you know, over 40% of everyone in Canada will die. And,
what?
And that, yes. And apparently, it could
I have friends in Canada.
I know. And it potentially could be going up all the time.
Oh, man. There's some people in Canada I wouldn't miss.
I like most of the people I've met from Canada.
I went into a restaurant in Canada one time and
bad idea.
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. There's seven kinds of bacon in Canada, but it was a Mexican restaurant and staffed entirely by Anglo-Saxon Canadians.
Oh, come on. They got it backwards from our thing?
It's weird.
No, right? Anyway, like, we talked about this. You got the Chinese food done by the Mexican people. That you go up there, you're telling me you go into a quote-unquote Mexican restaurant in Canada and it's populated by
white in certain parts of Canada, it's absolutely true.
Appalling. That's appalling.
Like even in Washington State here, as you move over the mountains, as you go into the more rural parts of the state, you don't have to go that far before all of a sudden, you know, all of the jobs that in the city, in the city, these jobs have been held by immigrant populations for so long that you just, when you see a white teenage kid working at one of these jobs, it's a shock to the mind because you haven't seen
yeah, I totally what you mean, know what you mean, and it's kind of like we talked about last time about the old waiter we had where the dignified right. steak waiter it's a disappearing tradition.
It's an old man and he's a waiter. It's amazing waiter.
And he knows he's a waiter.
It used to be not amazing that a white kid would be pushing a broom in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But living in Seattle or San Francisco, the last time you saw a white teenager pushing a broom was the 70s.
Yeah, because his dad was hitting him.
Word.
I was in a hotel a few days ago, and the housekeeper was 100% like a Caucasian.
Oh, yeah, but she was from Romania, I bet, or Ukraine.
Oh, that would be hot. I assumed that it was like an air marshal thing. I figured there was some version of air marshals for hotels where she was kind of wink-wink undercover.
She was watching you?
I hope so. I danced like she was watching. Yeah. No, wait a minute.
Did you sing like no one could hear?
I can never remember how that goes. Now, who said that? Somebody who played baseball or jazz. I can never remember.
I was in a hotel in Romania one time, and the maid... The housekeeper came in to change the sheets, and she was wearing fishnet stockings.
Mm.
And as she was changing the sheets, so I'm sitting in the chair as she's changing the sheets on the bed, and she's bending over at the waist to change the sheets on the bed. And there's her fishnet stockings there's a portion of them in the upper back area.
Mm-hmm.
Where the stocking part is ripped to the point of being missing entirely. And I began to suspect, using my powers of divination, that she was a multi-purpose housekeeper.
Oh, I see.
But I was very busy at that time I was very busy with a project of my own. And so I shooed her away. Shoo.
Also, I mean, you know, if that's something that's not bothering her, I would guess that a lot of guests have been in that particular piece of Romania. So I'd be super careful about that.
Right. You know? Well, this was a very off the beaten path part of Romania.
Right.
And I think most of her normal guests were either other Romanians or German sex tourists.
Ugh. Oh boy, I hate every word of that.
And people mistake me for a German sex tourist when I'm overseas.
Especially when you go to Thailand with rolls of quarters.
Well, I look like one for some reason. And right. when actual German sex tourists see me in foreign countries, they always like beeline for me. They sidle up to me and they're like, "So, how are you doing?" I don't know why I'm talking like a weird
Count Chocula.
All of a sudden my normally
hello. I see that you're one of us. Would you like German to split a boy?
I turned into a Transylvanian pimp. But no, they sidle up and I'm not even going to try a German accent. It's too early.
No, and I don't German sex tourists sidling. We just stop it right there.
It's crazy. It's crazy over
what
there.
What is it with them? You know, you accidentally find German porn sometimes, and I don't understand how babies ever get made. Because from what I can tell, they hit each other in poop. And that's the entire thing.
They don't know where
to put
it.
There's so much poop. And it's like, you know, I don't want to see that. And I've tried to put things in place where I'll see less of that. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you just got to get comfortable with the fact that you're just going to see a lot of cocks. And you know what? I'm mm-hmm. fine with that. Mm-hmm. A big old beaver when I'm trying to find a record by the Kinks, mm-hmm. fine.
Sure.
You know what? I don't want to see Bavarian poop face. Like I can't unsee that.
There's a lot of, you know, that phrase, "I can't unsee that."
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear that and wonder what the hell people were talking about. Like, what are you talking about? I've been on the planet for 40 years. There's nothing I want to unsee,
right?
Because I've never been witness to a genocide or anything. But the last 6 months, I have started actually searching the internet, not searching the internet, but trolling the internet in a way that I never used
trolling
to do.
Trolling or
trawling?
Like, do you have like some kind of a Gillnet thing you're doing, or are you literally walking around going, "Your ass is fat, Justin Bieber, Ron Paul Nation,"
no.
like
you're
that?
Right. I'm not trolling it, but you know, I used to just go to Wikipedia and read it all night. And then, you know, and then I'd put on some slippers and take a bath. And now I'm actually going further out.
Oh, boy. And you keep bringing up 4chan. I think 4chan is a big unsee it kind of place, right?
And that's the problem.
Why are you looking at 4chan, John? That doesn't make a lick of sense.
Well, it does because
you might have a virus. You might have a virus. You should check. I have a virus right now.
I have a Mac and they're impenetrable.
No. I mean in your brain. I mean,
I do have a brain virus.
I want to come back to that because I think you've got steamy photons and a lack of plasticity. And I want to talk about magical thinking. So help me get back to that. Anyway, so you're on 4chan.
Well, or not
everybody's,
just 4chan,
everybody's being silly.
That follows. You know, you go from there out into this darker world, and there are terrible things on the internet, just terrible, where I think to myself, I do wish I could unsee that now. I wish I could unthink that idea because it is not, it's an idea. You can sit and think about stuff. You can think about the silence of the lambs and say, oh, it puts the lotion on the skin. Yeah. But when you see people out in the world who are acting out these fantasies, or you see, even if the videos are fake, and I saw a video the other day of a guy, one of these Mexican gangsters cutting a guy's head off with a chainsaw, and the guy was still alive.
Well,
I don't want to see that.
What makes you click the button on that, John?
Well, yeah, because there's a part of me that does. Here's why I go.
Testing your boundaries. Is that what you're doing?
It's not that. It's that the idea of anonymous is very appealing to me because I feel like everything everybody's doing on the internet now is a form of look at me. Like there are so many concentric circles of famous, and everybody. I mean, literally everybody I encounter on the internet is trying to expand their circle of famous to the next larger circle of famous.
I think you tooted that to John Hodgman and his wife 60 times. So that's why I remember hearing that. Scrabble.
It's the whole premise of just like,
yes,
you know, follow me, look at me here, look what I did. And so the idea of anonymous, which is that people are doing something and there's no possible way for them to accrue fame to themselves, it appeals to me because I think maybe there's some genuine material being created that anonymity wipes away some of the uselessness of what people are saying. Even when I read something that's really good now, I have to contextualize it in within the framework of this person said that in order to direct attention to their Tumblr page, which is directing, you know, which eventually they're going to try and sell ads on or something.
Yeah, I completely disagree about the first part, and I almost totally agree on the second part. Uh-huh. I think you're totally right.
What was the first part again?
I don't remember. It's totally exhausting, and like I have some friends who really are, I assume, unironically into all of this social whatever it is, and you know whatever. I'm not that old a guy. I get like what a lot of this is, and it's fun, and I'm kind of good at parts of it. But like the whole like checking into Foursquare thing, and then you check into Foursquare, and then that goes on to the Facebook, and the Facebook goes on to, and it's like it's you know, it's bullshit all the way down, and it's like pretty soon it's like where does, you know, it's just you're constantly. I was about to quote myself from Twitter, but I'm not gonna. But you know, you're constantly trying to find some way that, like, I mean, everybody in some ways, you know, you want to be noticed and you want to be liked and you want to be admired. But
I just want to be feared.
Okay.
I don't want to be liked or admired. I just want to be feared.
You should cut off some dude's head
with a chainsaw. That's
been
done.
Yeah, because instead of the myth, you could have decency busters. You could have a show where you just do all kinds of appalling stuff.
Busters.
Yeah, and you could,
I'll wear a beret.
And be anonymous. Right? Hello, I am Otto, the German sex tourist of anonymity.
It's so chocolatey.
Watch this woman fall down and be forced to eat poop.
Yeah, there's poop all over her, and now I'm going to kill her with a chainsaw.
Now I have put a picture of a cat on her on the
internet.
See, now
we sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know. My accents have completely gone to shit.
Mine have, too. I used to be so good at that.
I don't know.
But here's two things that have filled me with fear in recent days. Mm-hmm. One is somebody posted a thing on my Facebook page, and I replied to it, and they posted, and they didn't send me a message, right? They had to post it on my page. And then I got a phone call 20 minutes later from somebody pissed off about some piece of information some unconfirmed piece of information that was posted by a relative stranger on my Facebook page. And I was like, oh, right, this compulsive sherry algorithm that Facebook uses.
Is that just for my card, SHARE-Y?
Yeah, I would put a dash.
Because compulsive Sherry algorithm sounds like...
Sherry algorithms, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's that's one of those Elephant Six records.
I loved those guys.
You hated that shit, didn't you?
Before they all went to live under a porch somewhere.
But I don't think Olivia Tremor Control found a porch.
Those guys all live under a porch.
They changed their name and got a theremin, I think.
That was the thing about Elephant Six. After two records, you had to go live under a porch.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then... All tomorrow's parties would call you back up, and you'd be the greatest thing that ever happened. But I want to.
And you say you're not Bruce Valanche. I think you might be the Bruce Valanche of your vertical space.
If another person says Bruce Valanche around me, I'm going to come.
You're going to have a hissy fit and change your shirt.
I'm going to come through the radio waves and pop him in the nose.
God damn it! I need more cards. I want to come back to so many things.
Can
we make sure we close the thread on Bruce Valanche? Because I have a lot of questions. I want to talk about magical thinking. I don't want to talk about 4chan or the Tea Party. But I feel like I need to write more things down. I don't want to interrupt you, John. Your flow is important. I understand you want to be fearful, but right now two things scare you.
Feared. Okay. I don't want to be fearful.
You're scared about two things this week, and you want to be fearless. Somebody released information on your Facebook page, and then you got a call.
I got a phone call, an angry phone call from somebody who's close enough to me to have my phone number, saying, I read this thing that came up in my Facebook feed. And I was like, Christ! So I went on my Facebook page immediately and changed all the settings so that it doesn't share anything with anybody.
You think?
Basically, my Facebook page now is a completely closed system where only I can see it. And it's just, I just am going to go in there and run around naked, I guess, throwing my poop in the air.
The other thing that scares me,
and this is back to 4chan, I've watched those freaking kids on 4chan ruin people's lives.
That's what the whole idea is. This is why we must stop talking about it right now.
All right. You're right. You're not supposed to talk about it.
Well, it's one of those nuclear war type things.
I know what I was talking about. The fact that your phone and everything puts a little GPS code on every picture you take.
Yeah.
There are people out there who will come to your house.
Yeah, I mean, there's somebody put out a really creepy app that would basically, fascinating proof of concept. I mean, that's part of the problem with a lot of this stuff is that that a lot of people our age don't get, or in my case, don't love, is that there's some extremely interesting technology that's really just showing you something. It's not hacking or cracking anything. It's just showing you what you've done. Like in public. And so it was really super creepy, but like this somebody put out, well, one person put out a thing that basically has a little regular expression thing that like sweeps Twitter for indications that they aren't at home. And it was just a webpage where you could find out who's not at their house.
Are you putting this metadata up on our little metadata box, or are you not doing that anymore? Oh, you're not doing that anymore.
What do you mean, right now?
Yeah, remember in the early days of this podcast?
Oh, no, click more, click more.
Oh, where do I click more?
Well, go to like a detail page. Sorry, John. Go to the website.
Which website?
Oh, I'm so angry right now. Here's the thing. They got the EXIF data, you got the location data and all that stuff. It's just, you know, sometimes I think it's a shame that we can't divorce the awfulness of what people are doing with some of this stuff from the fact that there's stuff we can learn from it. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, and this is really boring, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
This is an educational podcast. I've been reading the reviews.
I worry. My concern is that in as much as you would like to help everybody, or perhaps that you demand everybody be helped, to put it slightly differently.
My concern for you,
John, is I don't want the plasticity of your photons to become too watered down. And my concern is that if you help people who truly, it's not that they don't need help, but they can't be helped in a way that scales. My concern is a lot of people are going to miss out on being set straight by you. And I think that we can't afford that. You get too wrapped up. You go into some, you start wrestling some fucking tar baby, and you are not going to be able to go set people straight that are causing a lot of problems for me in particular. That's my concern.
To me. You're absolutely right. You've seen this before.
I've seen the tar baby.
Yeah, I do. I get tangled up.
You're Brer Roderick.
I'm Brer Roderick.
Is that an Uncle Remus thing? What's that called? It's Tales of the South, Southern Racism? What's that called? Song of the South, right?
And I got into an interesting conversation about it the other day because
We on Facebook?
We're not on Facebook. This actually happened in a cafe.
Cafe, okay.
I wrote an article for the Seattle Weekly.
Is your Reverb?
This is the Reverb, yeah.
It's in my Insta paper. I haven't read it yet. I always enjoy when you do that. Please go ahead.
But it was I quoted somebody that I had a Twitter exchange with, and she was like she made some point about feminism, that women somehow are, yeah, you know, second class citizens or something.
Is that like an essential oil or a mineral?
Feminism. Don't you remember there was that great cover of like Bust magazine where they said it's been, you know, it's the 30th anniversary of feminism, and they misspelled feminism on the cover.
No way.
And I was working at a magazine.
It's like bra burning meets magnesium.
It was so great. Feminism? What?
On the cover?
I actually kept a copy of it because I don't know what it said. It's not, I wasn't trying to prove the point that people that put out feminist magazines don't know how to spell feminism. That's not the point I was trying to prove. It was just a nice thing. It was like my Braille Playboys. It was something that I like to keep around. But anyway, so I made some, I was talking, I was sitting in
Braille,
a cafe.
Braille,
I was talking
Braille, did you say Braille Playboys?
Braille Playboys, yeah.
Okay, right, go ahead.
I was talking to some rock musicians, and I said, "Oh, I got into this. This gal was angry at me for misquoting her in this article I wrote about a Twitter exchange that we had, where I called her a fake feminist." And the rock musicians I was talking to said, "Oh, is it girl so and so?" And it was. They called her out. She's like a feminist critic, music critic, and I have nothing against her personally. Or against her feminism, but now I've completely lost my.
Premise. But the thing was, you wrote in your Reverb, and you were talking to musicians,
right?
And is something going to happen? I'm trying to guess what the story is. She finds out that you were talking about her.
Oh, she was mad. Yeah,
right.
Oh my God, the photons are pouring out of my ears right now.
That's why I want to get back to magical thinking.
Like a
It's
like a photon fall.
You know what you need? I'm going to send you some index cards.
Oh, wow. I haven't had index cards in years. Not since I did my book report on the life of a cell.
Haven't I ever given you index cards at all? That harms me. I feel like I've given you a lot of index cards. I think I've given Eric index cards.
You gave Eric index cards, and I think I might. I'm embarrassed to say this. I might have given Eric my index cards that you gave me.
That's fine. That's fine. It's fine, especially in the sense that now you're struggling, and now who's the mad genius now? That's what I'm saying.
I wish I had index cards. You're right.
I'm capturing all of this in a taxonomized. When I say taxonomized, they're on different cards. But and so the Feminism, I say that's Bust magazine.
Yeah,
that's a lady magazine, and the cover is ironic, or was it satirical or ironic? What kind of name is that?
Bust. Oh, I think that would be ironic.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure if Bust is still in print, which would add a further level of irony to the name Bust, because they may have gone bust.
Oh, I see. You took an eternity. Now, what about Grand Guignol? Are there any Grand Guignol magazines?
Well, there was Grand Royal.
Oh, I love Grand Royal.
Yeah.
I love Grand Royal. I love Ben is Dead. Grand Royal was, did you ever see the one where Mike D put on the mullet wig and went to GIT?
That was awesome.
I think that's the Sleep Scratch Perry issue. I still have it, and it's so fucking great.
Yeah.
And the Might, you know, the guy that wants kids to write in the Mission, did the Might magazine. Do you remember Might?
I was a massive fan of Might.
I love Might magazine. I look forward to it. I drive to the store and buy Might magazine.
Yeah, Might pretended, who was the kid from Eight is Enough? They pretended that he died.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Adam Rich.
It was Adam Rich, and it was before, it was just at the beginning of the internet. And
not really. Yeah, to make your point even better, this is not a heavy internet period. It was before you would have these back, you know, this is more in the tradition of Spider Eggs and Bubble Yum, Mikey and Pop Rocks kind of shit.
Right. It was certainly before the internet existed for me, but it was in advance of what became a kind of internet based pranking. Mm-hmm. But this was real in the flesh pranking in a magazine, so not in the flesh. It was real in the magazine pranking.
And it wasn't oniony. It wasn't something, well, and especially in the sense that the headlines were funny and the stories weren't. It was like, it seemed plausible. Like they talked to people, and there was not that kind of like overly winking. I mean, I guess there was, if you really stood back and looked at it, but
stepped 1 foot back from Might magazine and realized that everything in it was a gag.
But then they have a theme. Like did they have themes? It seems like they had themes.
They did. I feel so bad. I feel so stupid. It's not bad. It's stupid. Stupid mm-hmm. isn't bad, but no. I feel stupid because I had every original Dave Eggers publication in my hands at the time. First edition, McSweeney's issue number one, all that stuff that's now worth, I mean, I could probably buy a small economy car with all that stuff if I had the presence of mind to just keep it.
Or a couple boys.
Instead of giving it away. Or buy a couple of boys?
Well, you'd have to talk to your German friends, but yeah, my sense is...
sex tourism.
Well, I think it's like, they probably have Das Amazon, Das Prime for that.
My thing with boys, there was a while there where I tried to be attracted to boys.
Like in a Thomas Mann kind of way?
Well, yeah, sort of in a like...
Oh, is that Death in Venice?
In a Greek gymnasium kind of way.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it just didn't take, and I feel in some ways that I can't really be a public intellectual unless there's a part of me that's like that wants to educate young boys and the
you
ways.
Got no X's in your buggery column. That's your problem. Yeah. Well, you go and look at a lot of those guys, and yeah, sure, some go for the older, some for the younger. I think you might be onto something, but I think part of the concern is though that you have a very quick mind and you're very impatient with children. So and not good children like ours, but like all the other children, which are not good. And my concern is like you'd be sitting around and you would start talking about British Steel, mm-hmm. and they'd say, "Do you want me to fellate you?" And you'd say, "No, listen, I want to talk about this."
Well, I don't think a young man can come to adulthood without.
And they wouldn't say fillet. They'd say make candy penis bang bang or something. Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. Would it be broken English or how would
the
that
thing
work?
Is, I remember being a teenage boy, and I don't remember ever asking an adult if they would like me to do anything.
You didn't even do your homework, right?
I think that's another example of adult fantasy world where kids are like, "May I fillet you, sir?"
Right.
When in fact they're playing their PlayStation 2s, and the adult has to come in and actually whack them on the head with the penis and say, right. "Now."
Yeah, exactly. Like if you want to play Galaga, you're going to have to, you know.
Get it.
That's
Get
right. It. Don't fear the reaper.
But none of that interests me. I think what these kids need is to learn more about Judas Priest and the 30 Years' War.
You said this to me, John Roderick. You said that I needed that strong male figure, not in a pulling down the sweatpants kind of way. Not
to like, whack you on the head with his penis. But
this is the thing. I am the student. I don't feel like I'm in a position to say, oh, I don't want to learn that kind of math. Uh-huh. Oh, you know, science is more important than history, so why bother? Could you please stop hitting me literally with your penis? Right. I feel like I am not the one who gets to pick the syllabus for that. Sure. I may not like the reserve reading, but on some level, you know, I may have to, sometimes you have to kneel to rise.
If you're in my charge and I decide the lesson plan for today is a little bit of penis-related
material.
Then that's got it. You're right. You don't get to choose which parts of military school you like and which parts are fun and which parts you want to take a pass on.
I was on the drill team in military school. And that doesn't mean it's not the girls with the big thighs who spin the batons. I marched in close order with a gun. So, so here's the other thing, John. I just want to be clear.
Like taps.
I watched, you know what? You do not want to show a bunch of boys in military school a movie set in a military school.
You saw Taps when you were in military school?
No, I was a little bit older than that. But like, what was the one? Damien, Omen 2?
Oh, Omen.
Involved military school. Right. I think Up the Academy, the Mad Magazine movie. there are a lot of movies involving, and it's like that bit on Letterman, in the first season of Letterman, where Letterman... I don't know if this is an ongoing bit, but I have such a clear recollection.
Where he threw watermelons off a 3-story building?
That's pretty funny. That was later on. He would do movie reviews. And the one I remember is he had a movie review of Flashdance by a professional welder. And he brought the guy on, and he just showed. And he wasn't like over the top. It wasn't like a bit. He was just not like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't hang on a job with having long, flowing black hair coming out of him. That's no way to light that. That's the wrong temperature for that kind of metal. Like, you know, the thing is, the point being that, like, if you go and ask, you know, if you go to the people who understand what's on the screen, like, they're going to tell you whether that makes any sense or not, you know? Mm-hmm. They're going to go, oh, no, that guy's got an SS thing on when he's actually in this, you know, Luftwaffe thing or whatever.
Right.
You know?
That would be me.
Right, exactly. You know a German uniform. But here's the thing. There's also a lot of posers out there who are just going to get away with it, right? Now, me, I know. I would watch a military school movie. I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but I'm going to assume it's somewhere. And I would go, you know what? That is bullshit.
Right, that wouldn't happen that way.
It's wrong in every way. Like, you guys were not dressed right. I mean, dressed right. You were not in line. Like, there was no pattern to what they were doing. They're just fucking actors fucking walking around in pants. That's not marching, right? So here's the thing. I think a lot of pederasty in literature and culture is a little bit fake, right? I think
it's absolutely fake.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where, like, what was that great Tom Wolfe essay? Something, the Mau Mouse. But it was the one where they had Leonard Bernstein had the Black Panther benefit. Did you ever read that? It's really great. And it's a total indictment of what, you know, the kind of the fleece people nowadays, but the rich, you know,
limit. He got in a lot of trouble for that.
Because he talked about it or because it wasn't true?
Well, no, just because of it. Because the tone of it.
You don't fuck with Leonard Bernstein. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, but... Yeah, right. He was in hot water.
Is that right?
Yeah. So wait a minute, but the thing about this pederasty thing that's interesting is that neither you nor I were a gay teenager.
No.
And so it's entirely possible that
for practical purposes, I was almost asexual. I was like, you know what? Not even non-sexual. There shouldn't have been even a word sex in it.
Yeah.
I was just, you know? I mean, and even the masturbation that I was doing was so depraved that it was not even on a sexuality level. It was certainly not procreative.
You were just performing fraudage on a hollowed out tree.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It was just anger. There may be a lot of 25-year-old towels running around in Florida that I'm responsible for, and I haven't paid for school. I haven't done any of that.
Oh, you. Bastard, you deadbeat dad.
Pederasty and the fake pederasty. I want to come back to that. I don't want to interrupt you, though, because it sounds like you're going somewhere here. All I'm trying to say is there's a rich history of this, right? There's a rich history of you've got to go, could be that you're taking snuff. It could be that, and not like a snuff movie, although I want to talk about that, too. I want to talk about this movie I just heard about. To come back to the Grand Guignol. I don't want to lose that.
As far as you were saying about the military outfits being inconsistent, I've noticed lately I've been pausing movies. I'm watching movies at home. I've been pausing them and saying, that's a hollow core door. Whoever built the set of this movie didn't get a solid wood door, and they didn't have hollow core doors at this era. And then I'd push play again, watch it for a little while, and then I'd say, push pause again and say, that type of countertop hadn't been invented when this was supposedly filmed. Then I'd push play again, and I'm driving myself nuts. I don't know what that is. I don't even know.
Well, this is a whole season to talk about this. Well, there's a whole thing with the oopses, you know, on like IMDb. Right, the
oopses, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, I don't know why I even look at that, because it always makes me angry. It makes me angry because I hate when people do that, and it makes me even angry because I do it.
Yeah,
I do it. And there's all kinds of movies that I loved as a kid that have continuity. Like, go back and try to watch Stripes again. It's a fun movie, but the continuity is complete bullshit. Oh, you know. Yeah. Right. But even like
high when they were making that movie.
You think so? Even Harold Ramis.
So high.
What about PJ Souls?
High.
Okay.
Deeply high. That's there was nobody on that movie that wasn't super duper high.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. I mean,
What about Night Shift with Michael Keaton?
Very high. Although Henry Winkler seems like kind of a square. Maybe he never got high.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Razor's Edge with Bill Murray?
I didn't. That's the mom.
Oh, my God. Oh,
the Somerset mom deal, right?
It's Somerset mom, and it's so bad. They are so on cocaine.
Oh, really? Every time I see a shot or a scene of that, I just see him looking like Carl in Caddyshack, not on purpose. Right, he has a permanent smirk.
Because the cocaine is screwing with his smile muscles, and it's making him grimace and smirk. He can't even help it. They try and play it totally straight, but it's like watching a cast of 200 people dressed as flappers, all gritting their teeth, all grinding their teeth down to the stubs because they're gacked out on like 70s coke. It's unbearable to watch. You would think this movie
it's a wartime movie, right?
Well, no, it's a Roaring Twenties movie. Oh no, wait, no, it is a wartime movie. I'm sorry. I was thinking about The Great Gatsby, which is another,
which my mother-in-law is in.
Your mother-in-law's in The Great Gatsby?
In the film, yeah. There's two spots where you can see her dancing. They shot it in Providence. Sorry, Dr. Yours. Well, Razor's Edge is Mom. I was one of the books I claimed I've read and I haven't.
It's a great book, but you would think that this movie was one of the, if it was even remotely good, it would be something that somebody's seen, but nobody's seen it. It's like Where the Buffalo Roam. Nobody wants
it. I love that movie. Do you hate it?
Well, no, I don't hate it, but it's not.
Oh, man.
But the Johnny Depp
version is pretty great.
Version is so
don't you love good. The soundtrack, the Neil Young soundtrack, though?
There are a lot of things about that movie I like, but the Johnny Depp movie,
so well done.
It actually captured, for me at least, as a sober person watching it, it conjured up the exact feeling of being on drugs.
Oh,
so many times in the movie.
Oh, the good, the bad and the worst, but some of the good, but just that sense of complete menace. Like when he's in the bar, not even just like the hallucinating monster stuff, but just the fact that everybody's a little bit distorted. And that's what I love about his writing too. I said this a million different places, but what I love about his writing is and seriously, fucking go back and read The Kentucky Derby is Decadent and Depraved. It's still fucking amazing. And and he sounds like he is completely menaced, and everything around him is a potential threat that might need to be maced.
Even in The Curse of Lano, which is past his that's past his prime, there's a section where he is driving, I think in Hawaii, he's driving a car down a sort of a windy road, and it is the perfect evocation of speeding out of control on a dark road in a car that's too fast for you, you know?
Right.
But I
gotta check that out. I've got it on my information phone, but I haven't read it yet.
Watching that movie and being transported into that feeling of paranoia and terror of being really, really, really high in a hotel bar. without, you know, most of the time when you see a drug sequence in a film, they, you know, it gets all weird. It's like, ooh, it's a dream sequence. Oh no. And it's so unlike
Or it's like something from like where Ed Sullivan would have girls in go-go boots while there's bubbles or something. Like that kind of like circa 1967 zombies, not even
it's
zombies
fun,
video.
It's sexy, you're on drugs.
Right.
But yeah, but that that Fear and Loathing movie, if you have never done drugs and you want to know what it's like, I would watch that movie in a dark room.
I think it's...
Maybe take some drugs just to like amplify the effect.
There's a site I like a lot called Letters of Note, and I really highly recommend it. I'll put it in the thing, and it's every day they post some piece of correspondence.
I've seen this.
Yeah, maybe something historical, but just usually something interesting or whatever. And like there's like four or five really good ones from Hunter S. Thompson. I'm trying to find this exact because there's one quote where. What I was trying to get at was with Johnny Depp. I mean, I know he'd been acquainted with Hunter S. Thompson, and he just seemed to. I've seen a bunch of interviews, and I bought a bunch of the old cassettes because he would just talk to himself on cassettes, right? That's what Hunter S. Thompson would do.
And then sell them?
Well, no, that's like how he would think out loud.
How did you get them?
Nah, they're out there. But they're, you know, it's a lot to listen to, but it does, Johnny Depp really captures that weird combination of relaxed swagger and complete paranoia.
Yeah.
You know, and the shifting eyes and everything.
He's a good actor.
He is a good actor.
I feel like he's made some terrible movies, but that on the whole, I have no complaints.
I'm just finding this one. I'm sorry. I don't mean to seem distracted by the internet. I just, he writes these, you know, he would just fire off these faxes to people.
Hunter,
this is one to Rolling Stone in.
You've read the book where Father Guido Sarducci sends letters.
Yes. Very funny.
That's
nice. You worthless acid sucking piece of illegitimate shit. Don't ever send this kind of brain damaged swill in here again. If I had the time, I'd come out there and drive a fucking wooden stake into your forehead. Why don't you get a job, germ? Maybe delivering advertising handouts door to door, taking tickets for a wax museum. You drab South Bend cocksuckers are all the same. Like those dope addled dingbats at the Rolling Stone office. I'd like to kill those bastards for sending me your piece as soon as I kill you too. Jam this morbid drivel up your ass where your readership will better appreciate it. Sincerely.
Pow!
He's so great at that. And then,
this makes me think of something I was thinking. I was sitting in the bathtub the other day, as I do, and I was thinking about my own career and what a total wreckage I have made of it. What a crater.
You mean like that as of today?
Yeah, and in place of like the career arc that would be the ideal one where I built on everything that I made and added a new level to it and then was, you know.
Were you driven your enemies before you and heard the lamentations of their women?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the plan, right?
That was the plan. And instead, you know, I spent so much time in the garden and so much time muttering to myself.
You did a lot of fence work in the last. You seem like you've done a lot of things with fences.
I did a lot of fence work, but also at a certain point, I rejected Gore-Tex and went back to wool. And that was a watershed moment
for me.
Was
that time consuming?
Is that who?
Literally watershed, because it would shed water.
That's right.
That's good.
But there are a lot of people.
You sure you're not a pederast? That was pretty clever.
Thank you. Well, I have six 14-year-old boys sitting Indian style around me in a semicircle here, and they're all playing PlayStation 2s. None of them are listening to me at all. You bastards! But anyway, there are a lot of people up here in the Northwest who shun wool, and they're in a completely Gore-Tex universe, and they think that that's Northwestern attire. And I'm in this. I'm back to wool. Back to wool. Back to analog. Back to mono.
Gore-Tex. Like I bought Gore-Tex shoes, and they don't breathe.
They don't breathe. Thank you.
I feel like I'm not like a really stinky foot person. You know, I have a lot of problems, but that's not one of them. But still, I mean, it's brutal. And I end up I sand my shoe trees. I always sand my shoe trees. That's how you bring your shoe tree back to life with sanding. I sand the shoe trees. I put them into these shoes. I stick them into a sealed bag with baking soda, and I still feel like I'm only taking off maybe 20% of the problem. They don't breathe.
You should just throw your shoes away and buy some nice old leather shoes.
I guess.
But anyway, I was sitting in the bathtub. I was thinking about
So you ruined your career. Okay.
I've ruined it's not just my career, my whole life. I've done a terrible job managing it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, maybe I should just go in this direction that Hunter Thompson is doing, where I just am I just let it go. I just give everybody both barrels all the time and descend into a kind of, you know, lonely madness, mm-hmm. but really leave a legacy of truth.
Hmm.
You know, a legacy of truth is what
I'd say. Kind of late for you to start having a legacy of truth.
Mm.
I know. I listen. I'm not. Here's the thing. You can always hit the reset button. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that. I don't know. It's like it's not like one day, you know, Picasso decided to become a director. You know, he would have had to, you know, say, hey, look, act like I didn't do all that other stuff. I'm saying that you've caused a lot of fucking problems for people.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets complicated, John, because your version of the truth is so penetrating that I think for a lot of people, do you know what I'm saying?
All these 14-year-old boys just sat up straight and looked at me right in the eyes when you said penetrating.
Right. Well, you know, you can threaten to unplug that game anytime, you know?
And I'm going to plug something else. So
lost some point. I think I lost a couple of points. I was going to put you talk about Wilde and Bosie, the Marquess of Queensberry son that he was whose thigh he was fucking. I think that now for him that was real. Like he wanted that thigh. You know, and I still say to this day the whole reason that he started that trouble with the Marquess of Queensberry is because he misspelled sodomite. And you know the story, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay, so a great biography, the Richard Ellman biography, great biography, and I think it all started because of a spelling error. Yes, he wanted to fuck the guy's son in his like maybe in his knee. I think he had like a leg fucking thing.
Yeah,
I don't understand all the different angles on the different kinds of the gay, but like I think he was a leg. Clearly. He was a leg and leverage man. And the Marquess of Queensberry.
Frottage.
Yeah, it's a kind of, is it frottage?
Well, it depends.
Like frottage cheese?
It's like frottage cheese.
Yeah, for like when you're trying to have a low-fat diet. I'm saying that what I'm telling you, John Roderick, is life is fucking complicated. Oscar Wilde, like he was an essayist, he was a playwright, he was a knee fucker, and he didn't like spelling errors. Okay, and this is the 1800s, literally he was stickled with rent boys, they call it. That was, by the way, one of my favorite Smith EPs, Stickling the Rent Boys.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm just saying, like first of all, I admire the fact that you're owning your mismanagement. I mean, I think the first thing that a manager does is own the things they've mismanaged. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're owning it so much as just rehashing it.
No, I'd
love to see you take a direction. Now, if I could ask, I have not had the pleasure of visiting your home, but it strikes me that somebody like a Hunter S. Thompson, like you need a compound. Mm-hmm. Does the place where you live have any potential to become a compound?
It is already a compound.
You have multiple buildings, right?
There are multiple buildings here. There's an empty swimming pool.
Oh, that's good.
There's an untended orchard, but it's within the city limits. My neighbors are all like of the whatever you're doing over there, we don't want to know quality.
I thought it was like working class African American people.
Yeah, that's right. But they, you know, they when I first moved in here, I had hair down to the middle of my back and I was missing one of my front teeth. And that established a certain tone with my neighbors where they were like, he's friendly and that's fine. So let's just wave to him and don't go on his property. And hopefully he'll stay off of our property. And it's established we have a great dynamic here.
Mm-hmm.
We say hi to each other at the mailbox. We actually talk over the fence. But there is like all the teenage kids running around this neighborhood causing trouble. They all go to the other side of the street when they walk past my house.
You keep their ball?
I always throw their ball back to them, but I do walk around
first,
the yard.
First you lick it, I bet.
I do walk around the yard with a sword in a bathrobe. And I don't think
you're in the bathrobe, but the sword's in your hand, right?
I'm in the bathrobe and
the sword doesn't have its own bathrobe.
I'm just absentmindedly.
Come on, swordy, let's take a walk.
Just swinging the sword as I walk around thinking deep thoughts. And I think the kids in my neighborhood see that and say, there are other better places to go play than around this guy's house.
You gotta be careful though, because you're a big guy, like a tall guy, and like you got the tall guy problem though, of like just like I've got the smart ass guy problem, right? Which is
everybody
like
everybody wants to take on the
everybody tall guy, right? And so I wonder on some level if carrying a sword is also an invitation to bring that on, to cross the fence, if you like.
Well, here's a thing that I learned many, many years ago, and that is that all kinds of people want to, all kinds of men try and put on the loco eyes to get out of fights or get out of trouble. Like they'll give somebody the loco eyes.
Yeah.
And that is supposed to communicate like, don't mess with me, I'm loco. But the problem with loco eyes is that all it takes is to have your bluff called one time. And loco eyes turn to fear eyes very fast if the loco eyes don't have anything behind them, you know?
So if that guy was really tough, he wouldn't need loco eyes.
Well, there are actual loco eyes, and I'm sure you've seen them, where nobody's putting them on, where the person genuinely
has... that's like the Chekhov thing. Like, don't put loco eyes in the first act if somebody's not going to get shot by the end.
Right.
If you got loco eyes, you're just going to see them long enough, like right before somebody gets you. You know, it's not like something, you don't want to be one of those like Appalachian characters just walking around in some fucking crazy Snuffy Smith mode, like, ooh, I'm going to get you. Like, I don't think that's compelling. And I think people want... Yeah, I think people really want to hit you if you do that. I don't care if you got a sword or a robe or anything like
that. The thing about a person with truly loco eyes is that they don't care if you stick a pin in their eye. You know, they're nuts. And so all by way of saying, I stopped a long time ago putting any kind of loco eyes on my face. Mm. My face, when I look at somebody on the street and they are giving me some kind of confrontational energy, my face communicates exactly what I am capable of doing. And I find that
which is writing about it later.
That genuinely is enough. Writing an angry tweet about it later. No, I mean, I don't misrepresent the distance in a fight I'm willing to go with someone on the street. And that distance is not no distance, if you get what I'm saying.
Boy, that sounds really menacing after you explain it that way.
I have a lot to lose.
My dedication to fisticuffs with you... Yeah. Has a non-zero value in the sense of not being defined. Do you even know the difference between zero and null? Because I will explain it to you. That's all the difference in the world. You don't understand? And so at this point, the person's probably confused. They're feeling bad that they hadn't taken more math or like learned Perl. Like, right. I think at that point, you it's the equivalent of like one of those wrestlers throwing sand in your eyes, because now he's on the wrong foot and he's wondering, does this guy have a robe and a sword? And what is Pearl?
It's like that scene in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
It's a great scene.
Where Paul Newman says, let's get the rules. And the other guy says,
there are rules? No rules in a knife fight? Fight?
He kicks him in the balls.
Somebody say 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Oh, man. Shit. It is, it's good. Let's see. Okay. Oh, fuck.
So do you want to circle back on
some? I'm never going to get back to magical thinking. I had a thing on plasticity. I'm very interested in the compound thing, though, because it seems to me that, well, I'll tell you why. I think what you're describing here is really disturbing and extremely diluted, and I think that's a good direction for you. Mm-hmm. I see you committing. What's the word you use? You're inhabiting the voice? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I like that. Inhabiting the voice, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, also, I think you need to lead with your strengths. Right,
and if well, and I'm see, I'm wondering whether I went down the wrong road, and what I should be doing, like the guy in Shazam, I should be driving across America in a Winnebago, but instead of using the power of ISIS to solve crimes, I should be robbing diamond couriers. You know, all across America, there are
that's
guys.
That's so anti-Semitic, John.
There are guys. Here's the brilliant thing. Only goyish diamond couriers, right? It's a niche market. Okay. You leave the Jews alone, and then by doing so, you earn their respect, and you only knock over the German diamond couriers, of which I'm sure it's a small group, but I'm sure there are some.
If I were going to be a German sex tourist, I would want to have. Like Liberia, right? I would have a flag of convenience. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's not homophobic to say that, right?
Flag of convenience.
Okay. All right. Good.
That's what happens if you put a red handkerchief in your back left pocket.
Okay.
It's a flag of convenience. But you know, South Africans and German sex tourists,
they're walking around with diamonds, especially the South Africans. They got a shit ton of diamonds down there, John.
And I'm the guy in the Winnebago. I'm super unassuming. I'm parking every night in a Walmart parking lot. I'm part of that community.
Right.
But by day.
But the community of superheroes in Winnebagos who occasionally go into a cave to turn into a cartoon and get wisdom.
Right. Who every
doesn't
night.
Doesn't that happen? Isn't he a cartoon? Isn't he a cartoon sometimes when he talks to Neptune? Or am I thinking of Isis?
Wasn't that Mork? No, Mork was never a cartoon. Boy, that would have made Mork from Mork even cooler if when he went in to talk to Orson, he was a cartoon.
Yeah, I don't think they put a lot of budget in that. I think he mostly stands there.
Yeah.
Did Billy Batty, Billy Barty, Billy Batson, Billy Batson, what's his name? Billy Barty. Okay, Billy Barty.
Billy Batson.
When Billy Batson, when... That's not point. When he goes into the cave, doesn't he turn into a cartoon and he talks to Neptune?
That sounds familiar. You know, the last time I saw
you remembered the Winnebago, so clearly this is something that is. I think. Can I just say that I think the Winnebago. There is room for the Winnebago in this whole thing. I've got a list here of things that I think you should consider. You do not have to agree to any of these, but may I just go through a couple things?
Yeah, please do.
We should clarify the cartoon thing. We'll come back to that.
If I could turn into a cartoon for like 15 minutes every day.
Who would you talk to? Like, who would you seek wisdom from?
Otto von Bismarck.
It's a shame people don't remember him.
Wouldn't that be great if you turned into a cartoon every day for 15 minutes and could ask Otto von Bismarck anything?
What if you went into a cave, you turned into a cartoon, and a cartoon version of Hunter S. Thompson was in there, right?
That seems scary.
Well, here's the thing, is he's not going to fucking talk to you because you're a cocksucking piece of shit. But you're learning when he says that and he says, get the fuck out of here, and he literally throws a piece of dynamite at you. Maybe like, I don't know, like maybe an M80.
He has a crossbow that shoots dynamite like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Funny you should say that because this is on my list. I was going to recommend, if I may, I'm not against swords. I think having a sword is good. I think an arsenal, maybe a hidden arsenal, is not a bad idea. I'm just saying that when you walk around the perimeter of your property in a bathrobe, I would think about a crossbow. And not a small crossbow, not like one of those jokey ones, not one of those, Thieves Guild kind of things.
Right, I'm talking like a crossbow.
A fucking big ass, maybe like giant novelty size crossbow.
Now that I have a child.
More like a trebuchet. Like a trebuchet.
Trebuchet, right.
Yeah.
Now that that was my punk rock name, Trebuchet, but nobody ever got it.
It's not funny on so many levels.
It's so great. I was like, people were like, oh, my name's fucking Peter Out. And I was like, I'm Trey Boucher. And then they would go to the other side of the punk rock.
I like Amos B. Haven.
See, these aren't good punk rock names. These are like, I don't know. But anyway,
is it still a picket fence? Because is it made of pickets? Fence, yeah. It's a white picket fence.
A white picket fence. It's like a force field. A white picket fence makes your house look like it's like it isn't actually there, right?
Right. There's not going to be a lot of Ray Charles records inside.
It becomes a diorama. It becomes like a
shoebox simulator.
Yeah, exactly. It just fades into this sort of Norman Rockwell two dimensionality, and nobody thinks, oh, right, there's actually a weird guy living in there with an arsenal.
How tall are your pickets? Because you're describing to me talking over the fence to these poor bastards who live next to you. I thought I saw in one of your videos the guy made of you. I thought you had fairly small pickets, and if you've got a 2-foot picket fence, that's weird to talk over that. Now, are your pickets four? Do you have a 4-foot picket?
The pickets are about 4 feet tall, yeah.
Okay, and I mean, are they reinforced with chicken wire or anything like that, or are they literally just wooden pickets?
They're wooden pickets, but they are made out of, I made them out of pallets, like old shipping pallets.
Right. Get a splinter real bad out of those.
Yeah, they're not like little pickets that you buy from some picket store.
Okay.
They're reinforced pickets. They would stop a car.
All right, but there's nothing tricky about it, right? It isn't like dipped it in poison or reinforced it with rebar. About it.
The fence is just a fence, but on either side of the fence, front and back, I have planted ornamental bushes, which are also prickly, like vines of death. Like if you try and get through this hedge, you're going to get shredded.
I mean, if you're on foot and don't mind being a little inconvenienced, I don't think for somebody who's building a fucking compound,
I mean, you could go through the gate,
Okay, and what I'm asking you is like, isn't a large Bin Laden style wall, is that going to be a problem for zoning, for ventilation? Like, is there a reason that you don't have a big fucking like Godfather style compound?
As the hedges grow, they will become an impenetrable wall of hedge that you won't be able to see.
Tiny, you sound like the scariest organic gardener in the world. And like, I'm just saying. Well,
in fact, that's what I'd like my business card to say.
There's not a lot of fellatio at that convention, even with the boys.
Are you kidding me? There's so much fellatio at scary...
at a gardening conference?
Scary organic gardening conferences.
Yeah.
The problem is that all those people have so much body hair, and I don't know.
It's because of the permaculture, that's why.
Yeah, they don't... They're not grooming themselves. They consider grooming an act of colonialism.
Oh, absolutely. Then what's more phallocentric than hoeing your own hair? That's a form of self-abuse that Gaia looks down upon.
Right.
Or whoever. All right, so I'm just saying the Kennedys, you got the Godfather. You do need some, if you're going to go, and I'm not saying go on full on fucking John Wayne Gacy. I am saying that like,
you're not saying dig out the basement and
put 29 children in it?
Sprinkle lie down there to
dress like a clown?
Yeah.
And slowly turn a wire around their neck while you read.
Be dressing like a clown.
While you read the verses from the Bible.
But here's the problem. I do have an arsenal of weaponry throughout the ages.
And does that include your rose bush?
In my house, which includes my rose bush and my untrimmed garden, if you will. And now I have a child. And she's
all the more reason to have walls.
She's too young to have found, you know, my various caches of weapons. But there will come a time when she'll say, you know, Daddy, what's behind that steel reinforced door? And I'm going to have to say,
all your friends from school.